Hello and welcome to another episode of FPL Kobe Talks, the longest running FPL podcast recorded in sunny Singapore, where we look to fill your cups with top FPL reviews, analysis, and some friendly banter. I am Anwar, the FPL casual.
I am ABK, the Arsenal loyalist.
And I am Lukman, the sensible one. How's it going, guys? It's been a while.
Yes, it's good, it's good. It's been a good week. I think... Not a lot of goals, but I'm doing pretty well on my FPL, being hype.
Yeah. I mean, it was quite annoying that Anwar did quite well, but you know how I comfort myself and like, okay, yeah, this is good for the pot. So yeah, okay.
Beginner's luck, beginner's luck.
Hey, you're not a beginner, bro. Yeah, so, you've been playing how many seasons, bro? It's not a beginner. Bro,
remember the stats you pulled up? I was like, what, 3, 4 million, 5 million ranking? But it's only game week 5. We still got 33 more game weeks to go. So hopefully I maintain form and I maintain his form.
Okay, I want to talk because last episode, right? ABK?
Yeah.
Yep.
How about you, man? How's Barcelona doing for you?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that this is my first podcast recorded in my new home in Barcelona. I had a pretty hectic week trying to settle my accommodations, but I'm finally settled in. I think it's a good thing that we had an international break last week, so I could like settle in a bit. And
finally, you don't have to stay up to 3 a.m. to watch games.
Yeah, bro.
You watch them at 8 p.m.
Yeah, it's a nice timing.
Yeah, that's true.
My Champions League games, all I don't have to stay up, wake up at 3 a.m. all. That's perfect, I think.
Yeah, and then watch Arsenal lose.
Hey, bro. Come on. Hey.
Yeah, you're saying.
All right, I guess it's time we start reviewing the week's game proper. But before that, don't forget to follow FPL Kopi Talks on IG, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and X. And if you see anything you like, show us some love with a like, subscribe, follow, and share.
Yep, we've had some awesome traction so far this season with many of you liking and following and subscribing our content. And we want to keep the momentum going. We will continue to push quality content to spruce up your FPL journey. So, if you have anything else you'd like to see, just slide into our DMs and let us know.
Also, if you haven't joined our Telegram group, when we're running our FPL Price League, I'm really looking forward to today's spot. Without further ado, grab a beverage of choice. This is episode 83, Crazy Richarlison's. Let's get into it.
Boss, copy all satu, boss.
You're listening to FPL Kobe Talks.
It's Freddie Ljungberg again. Push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
All right, welcome back to another episode. So this episode, we actually have something new that we will start off and kickstart most of our episodes, and it's titled Tall, Grande, and Venti. So this segment is basically where we put our purely biased, highly opinionated rating of this game week, right? So some possible consideration for us would be how well our FPL teams did. So for me, it'd probably be pretty well. Excitement factors, were there goals, were there dramas, were there controversies? Last week we had 2 hat-tricks, today we had a hat-trick of misses, right?
And then by Nicholas Jackson.
The general FPL landscape, yeah. So ABK, for you, how was your FPL day? Was it tall, grande, or venti?
For sure, it's going to be tall. So if you guys are not familiar with the Starbucks sizes, tall is the least, it's the smallest. Although the names are just differently. So grande is medium, venti is the biggest. Yeah, so for me, tall, definitely tall. As a non-Salah owner, I think he's the kind of a differential this game week. I think
Essential differential,
as we mentioned in the previous spot. Yeah, so without him, my team, it's definitely a tall week. And then together with bench Ilwell, Pochettino, who decided to play the Ukrainian Mudrik over Chilwell. I think as a Chilwell owner, you didn't get like the Chelsea clean sheet points. So it's definitely a tall week for me.
But out of 10, you need to rate 1 to 10, right? 1 being the least and 10 being the best week, like a 250 game point week, right? Where would this FPL week stand for you?
I'll put like a 3, 3, yeah. 3 for me. Yeah. Still room for it to be worse. But at the tree.
Some point in there. Yeah. How about you, Lukman?
Okay, so stay tuned for ABK's team at the end of the episode. So for me, the Grande, like a 5 out of 10. So I didn't have a best game week, but I did get away with not having any Spurs assets, not having Chelsea attacking assets. So basically, I have Salah, but I still have a bad game week. But also seeing my team Liverpool win and seeing Man U lose, so it was like kind of a 50-50 kind of thing. So I guess it's a 5 out of 10 for me.
Oh, we are only 1 point difference, by the way, our team. So
yeah, and I own Salah. Crazy, that's how bad the rest of my team was. Yeah. So
I think I know what Anwar's answer is.
Actually, I give it 5.8 out of 10 for the 50 points that I have this week. Well, it's not the best week. It's not the worst week. Like I said, my aim for this FPL season is, you know, to be above average every week. And so far, thankfully, 5 weeks have been 5 weeks above average. I haven't break that buck yet. So 5.8, it's a good week, but not the best, not the worst. Could be better, definitely. But yeah, 5.8 out of 10.
Man. I think it's time for you to change your target. I think you might have to revise your target, looking at how well your team is doing now.
So what's
how you get 20 points more than me, bro?
Yeah, I think
find above, out at the end of the podcast.
above hard work, that's all it takes.
Above average is not cutting it. I think now I think you gotta change your targets. You know,
stay tuned, Brian. I shout don't out. Have a target on my back. I don't have a target on my back.
Shout out FPL Above Average Podcast, man. Great podcast. You guys should listen to it after listening to our podcast. But anyway, let's move on to our next segment, Brew of the Week. In this segment, we discuss players or teams that had exceeded our FPL expectations and we feel might go into a hot streak of brewing form. Let's start with the Egyptian King. Anwar, you know sing his song first?
Mo Salah, running down the wing, Salah. Come on, man. For those of you guys who doubted him, okay. When he's so happy, hello. He just rose. Yeah, for those of you who doubted Salah from game week one, I tell you, he's the FBL staple. Like, he's proven us wrong again. This is like, what, the fifth season, true and true, that he's not disappointed. 5 points, 5 points, 5 points, and then he came up with 8 points, and then this week he got 10. If not for that own goal, it would have been a hat-trick of assists. Come on, man, this guy just pure class.
I got to say, though, like, Salah, he's always been known for his goal scoring, and in the past seasons, that's where he's getting bulk of his points. But what do you guys think of him being like the assist machine now? You could say like the Kevin De Bruyne of Liverpool now. You think you like his role as assist machine, or you think he will develop that goal scoring will come in eventually?
I don't know.
What do you think, Lukman? I think he's not Kevin De Bruyne, bro. His assists are all simple assists. He just decides to give it instead of taking the shot. So I think in that sense he's matured,
No, I think he's not shooting as much if you look at the stats, but he's still there and thereabouts. I think non-owners has been very lucky that he hasn't scored more. That's my opinion. I think he will still score goals. He will also have more avenue to points. So I still think he is pretty scary not to go without EBK. You don't own Salah. Are you gonna get him in?
No, I say okay. Yeah, I'm definitely considering. But then the thing is, right? I feel that with Salah, right, you have to think about what you are losing out if you don't have Salah. As in, what you have in your team if you don't have Salah in your team, right? So all currently, right, with my team structure, if I want to get Salah back in, right, I will have to change two of my mid-price midfielders. So let's say maybe Foden and Madison. Or actually even Foden and Fernandes, right, to get Salah and another 4.5. So I'm thinking, okay, is that two midfielders, will that two midfielders outscore Salah? Because Salah, we're not going to captain him. We're just going to captain Haaland all the way, right? So if I don't intend to captain Salah, then I don't see the need to get Salah in immediately at the moment. Yeah. So
are you getting him in?
I say I'm still thinking, right? But I think at the moment it's a no for me. I think until I wildcard and I change my team structure, then maybe I'll consider. But I think at the moment,
yeah, correct.
I'll still keep to my team structure where I have two, maybe like 7.5, 8 million midfielders over Salah.
Okay. I agree. I think like unless you have a wild card in hand for to make space for 12.5 million, I think even two free transfers will not cut it. You probably have to take a hit to maneuver because you need at least three transfers to move your funds around. And but just some interesting facts here. Like for Liverpool this season, in these five games itself, right? They've created like they've had 16 big chances created, and Salah is responsible for 7 of them. So it's almost half of them. So he's getting involved a lot, and it's a big chance.
Oh, meaning he's
responsible. Out of these 16 big chances, right? The most big chances are with high XG kind of chances. 7 of them were from Salah itself. Yeah. So I think it's his involvement. It's quite big, lah. But I think some of you might also be wondering. You know, with Europa League coming up, what do you think? Do you think Salah will be more involved?
I don't think he will be involved. I think I'm also hoping he won't be involved. As a Liverpool fan, I hope he doesn't even travel. He should just stay at Melwood and ice bath and you know chill. Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about the other assets. So if you want to cover Salah with a Liverpool asset, when I think game week 9, right, their fixtures turn good. I think you would want Liverpool cover. So I don't think there's anyone that you can cover. So I still think that Salah, even though he's not scoring as much, he is still the one to go. The closest is Luis Diaz.
He's probably the second most nailed after Salah, but I think still not as nailed as Salah is.
He didn't start the last game, but I think his second half performance when he came on, I think it would give Klopp questions on why he didn't start Diaz in the first place. Because this guy it's like he reminds me of Suarez. Yeah, he's good. Some of his movement. Yeah, this guy.
I think he didn't start because of the international.
The same reason why Asupinan didn't start, I think. I think they all had a later
but
game.
But Estepina, yeah. Okay, so just to take note, right, Liverpool play in the early kickoff again in game week 9 post-international break. So yeah, if you want to get Luis Diaz, it could be the same thing against Everton. Okay, so one more thing, right, is the Europa League game, right, you can see the lineup. So for example, if Gakpo and Jota starts in the Europa game, right, then I wouldn't mind a Darwin pun. If you're sitting with Watkins or like Jackson, right, if you want to pun on Darwin, if he doesn't start, if Jota and Gakpo starts, then maybe I wouldn't mind. But if Jota is benched for Europa, I wouldn't go for Jota lah. Because I think Jota hasn't been good this season. I think Darwin is the next one if you want to sell Jackson or Watkins.
Well, personally, I wouldn't even go there lah. I mean, this could be, 1 week for 1 week. Next week, Nunes might play. But then the thing is, like, FPL is a game played over 38 game weeks. You cannot just think about getting an asset just for the next week. You have to think about the weeks to come. So I wouldn't even go there lah. I mean, just Salah or nothing lah for me.
Okay, how about Robbo? I mean, there's a lot of love for Robbo, but I still say stay away from Robbo. Just go to Trent if you want, but Robbo, he got lucky. You know his goal, right? You see his goal? The reason why he scored is because he's the only one, he got the ball from the set piece, right? Yep. So he wouldn't get in that position again. And also, if Trent inverts again, right, he wouldn't be as advanced as in the second
half. Exactly,
Right?
So that game, Gomez was on the starting right back. So I think they had a more traditional attacking output, so Robbo was for the upper pitch.
How about Kwachani, bro? What's his name?
Kwanza.
Kwanza.
Kwachani,
Kwachani, who's here?
Bro, I don't know. When I saw who the heck's here, this guy?
Kwanza, bro. Pre-season we saw him, he looked pretty good, though.
Eric Kwanza, brother, is it?
No idea. But at least we don't have like Daniel Legger coming back to the team and filling up the defense.
Martin's got
to be fair, he played better than Matip in that game. So if one were to drop, right, I would drop Matip first and Kwanzaa. But yeah, that's, I don't know how much Kwanzaa is, but yeah, he's definitely not the one to go. But anyway, let's move on to the next brew of the week. It's the man that we've ridiculed in certain reels. So it's actually the man himself, Richarlison. One goal, one assist off the bench, man. Are we going to apologize for ridiculing him?
I mean, the chances he missed were pretty bad. But credit where credit is due, right? Like, the international break, he missed a sitter for Brazil. And he would look really like out of it. And then he came out to the media saying that, you know, he's going to see his psychologist. He's going to come back stronger. And to do what he did in the final minutes of the game, right? That... I give credit to two people. Richarlison himself. Okay, three people. Richarlison himself, the psychologist that he met, and Ange for actually trusting him to turn the game around. And he came on the 75th minute?
80th.
Right? I think.
He took off Sun when they were down 1-0. That was quite a big cost.
Correct. And I think this would do wonders to his you know, his confidence. It's really interesting. This is a different Spurs team, man. The Spurs team, you know, before would probably put their hands up and then, you know, park some of the shots. But this Spurs team just came in with so much belief that they could get something out of this game. It was incredible scene.
I think it's Ange's charisma. I think you can see from his interview. I think the players are really playing for him. I think as compared to what we see with Conte, I think Conte is always very negative in the interviews. I think that's the kind of vibe or energy he puts in the training ground.
He's the Aussie
accent. The way when he speaks, right, I mean, you kind of like have confidence in him, you believe in him, you know. I think that's what he exudes in the training ground. I think also one thing I want to mention, if you guys don't get our episode title for this week, right, it's a pun on Crazy Rich Asians. So it's Crazy Richarlison. It's a pretty top episode title that Lukman came up with.
So if you sit on it, right, it actually gets better. Like when I heard from Lukman, I didn't get it in the first place. But I said, I think actually Crazy Richarlison, Rich Asian.
With all the references of him, like seeing the psychologist and everything, perfect man. Top episode title.
So let's go on.
From that, right, like what I'm saying is that the effects of a good manager, like Ange, really shows us how players can turn things around. So it's awesome, lah. I'm really loving this Ange, man. You know what he said, like there was an interview that asked him, are the Spurs fans like getting ahead of themselves for celebrating too early, right? Then he's like saying like, no, let them celebrate. They need to celebrate. This is what they watch the game for. And I think he's not even managing the expectations. See, if they expect us to win, then it's our responsibility to do that. You just gotta love this man. Ange. Big Ange.
I think he's getting too much credit, man, from you guys. I think his subs were more like throwing everything they were down 1-0, right? I don't think because of Ange Richarlison squad. I don't know. I just think you're giving him too much credit.
Okay, yeah, no, but because of Ange Richarlison scored, it's more of like, okay, I have Son on the pitch, he scored like what, a hat trick last week, and then I want to change the game, and then this guy hasn't been scoring for me, you know, for how many games, but he just had the confidence. He said, you know what, I trust you, you go on. I mean, it takes a certain kind of faith and trust from a manager to say that you go on, do what you do your best, good, and he understands that the upside from him scoring and assisting is far greater, man.
I think it's not so much of just his effect on Richarlison only. I think it's just the whole team, the whole belief within the team, to kind of get them to winning mentality, you know. I think like Anwar mentioned previously, you see Spurs crumbling, and now we see them fighting to kind of win the game after being a goal down.
Yeah. Okay, just quick word on Sun, right? So he had a lot of touches. He watched his touch map, right? He had a lot of touches in the number 10, number 8 position. So he was playing like the Hurricane O. So he only had 5 touches in the box, which is not ideal if you're starting up front, right? So I have a feeling, right? I think on all accounts, Solomon had a quiet game. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sun is shunted out back to the left and Richarlison starts back. So not good news for Sun owners, because as a left wing, he's a non-asset, non-entity. So that's one thing to consider, actually, even selling Sun. Did y'all see Richarlison coming back in?
Possibly. It's tough to call, at the moment. Yeah, it is.
I mean, I wouldn't sell Sun unless you have the luxury, but yeah, just something to take note. Any other assets from Spurs, like Kulu, no?
No.
I think, in general, Spurs have meeting Arsenal and Liverpool next 2 games, so I wouldn't move for any of the assets now.
Yeah.
So for those of you who had moved for Sun last week, you probably were targeting this game week and seeing if he goes through the trial of fire of Arsenal and Liverpool. Yeah, so you probably have his asset. You want to hold or sell, that's really up to you and how you want to maneuver around game week. But Spurs assets now...
I think it's a hold and hope. Hope for the best. I think Arsenal and Liverpool...
It's quite tough, Oppo.
Not the worst fixture for Sun, because they have here a lot of space, But if he plays on the left wing, then I don't know. It's not ideal. But I think it's a hole, right? I don't think it's a must sell. But okay, let's move on to the next segment, Roast of the Week. In this segment, we discuss players or teams that could have done much better this game week and deserve the roast coming their way. So, Anwar, you take the floor, man. The floor is yours. Because you've been roasting him since I don't know when, man.
Jackson, man. Bro, not even me. You know, I think his teammate, who was it? Was it Madueke or someone roasted him saying that they had this release of the EAFC 24 cut reveal, right? And Jackson is not even a rare gold rated. He's just a normal gold rated cut, rated 20. Yeah. So his teammate, not even rare gold, mate. Yeah, but this guy, wow, quite bad, man. It's quite bad. I think what's worse is that it's game week 5 now. He's collected 4 yellow cards and he's 1 yellow card away from suspension. So
I think this is not
goal celebration.
Okay, speaking of which, right, I forgot to mention on Salah, right? Salah doesn't get yellow cards. Like he doesn't. He's a very good boy. The only yellow card he'll get is from goal celebration. So that's one more plus point on Salah. Okay,
Which is a good thing, right? I mean, at least when you get a minus 1 point, right, at least it's just plus 5 minus 1. You know, you get at least plus 4. Whereas Dixon is just a minus 1.
I got so many yellow cards in my team, man, this game. I'm like, what's everyone getting yellow cards? It's damn annoying.
No, I think the Premier League is really clamping down on the descent. I think you can't charge on the referee now. I think that they are quite strict on that already. So I think
let me give you some stats.
We could see a higher rate of yellow cards. So I mean, I think this is one to look out for. So I think those people like to argue with the ref. I think off the top of my head, Bruno Fernandes. I think what we see also now with Nicholas
Bruno is a whiner.
Nicholas Jackson. I think these guys are very prone to a yellow card this season. So I think we got to watch out for that. It has to come to our consideration a bit when it comes to FPL.
Right. So on Jackson, right, this Chelsea team in terms of Delta G. So Delta XG is like the number of goals you scored minus your expected goals. They are the second lowest in the league, just behind Everton. Right, so their Delta G is actually minus 10 goals. So that says about how much goals they actually scored, converted, right? And on top of that, right, we just look at the number of big chances that they had, 15 big chances, and they only scored 3 out of these big chances. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jackson accounts for like almost a quarter to half of that number, right? So they don't have anyone else. This is the thing, they don't have anyone else to fill up the spot.
Speaking of big chances, right? So Chilwell didn't start. He came on. And he immediately created a big chance, but unfortunately it was Jackson. So he didn't get the assist. So I will just talk about Chilwell. I mean, Anwar don't own
Chilwell. Just before we go to Chilwell, just a final word on Jackson. If you have Jackson, sell or still
sell, bro. Should have been 2 weeks too late. 2 weeks too late.
Looking at the fixtures and all.
I wouldn't go for Alvarez, so I don't know who I'll buy. I don't know whether I'll go for Alvarez, so that's why I don't know whether I'll sell. I would wait one more week for Maurice. Maybe I'll hold. If you have two free transfer, you got nothing to do, right? Then maybe you can sell him. But that's the only scenario I would sell him. But I think right now, because Maurice is a bit iffy, right? We'll talk about Maurice later. But I think, I don't know, man. It's not... But it's tough not to say not to sell him after roasting him.
I feel that if you have no other fires to fight, I think you can sell. But I think if there's other fires to fight, then
sell him for my off the menu pick. Stay tuned for the later segment. But anyway, let's talk about Chilwell. So basically. Poch, I don't know what's wrong with Poch. So basically, he said he doesn't want his fullback to be attacking in the interview after the game, which doesn't make sense. If you see his past teams, basically even in preseason,
he doesn't want to win games, I think.
Yeah. In preseason, Chilwell played left back and was very advanced. So suddenly, he's a left winger now, rotating with Mudrik. I mean, like, what is happening, man? I don't know. As a Chilwell owner, I think it's a good question, also. I'm leaning towards if you have no issues, it's also a seller, I feel.
Yeah.
As a Chilwell owner.
So who will you sell it for? Because I think James is coming to the fore, right? So I think Gusto, I think although he got the full clean sheet points.
As in sell for other defenders.
Chelsea, no Chelsea assets at all. I think the Chelsea defense is pretty decent. I mean, although they don't create much, right? So their XGC, right? Is the third lowest after Chelsea and Man City. Right? Although we are talking a lot about how bad their attack is, right? Their XGC, right, after Man City and Arsenal is the third best, really. So, I mean, if I would want to keep,
If you look at the fixtures, right, it's an easy sell for a Newcastle defender because Chelsea fixtures go hard and Newcastle come into a good round of fixtures. So you can choose between your pick of Newcastle defenders. If you can get to Trippier, I think I'll go there. But I don't. You don't buy Chelsea defender. You're thinking of them, EBK.
I'm thinking of a keeper, Sanchez, maybe. Getting 4.5 Sanchez, but just...
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's fair, 4.5.
Yeah.
You bought Sterling, right, last game week. Anwar, what you say?
No, I just feel that, like I mentioned last spot, I think this Chelsea team has not settled into a structure. So, they were playing like a 3-5-2, that's why Chilwell was so far up. Now they converted back to a 4-2-3-1 structure. And I don't think there's much changes in there. I think they still look very lateral team, passing team. And their final third is not clicking. So just generally stay away from outfield players from Chelsea. Because there's so many players, you don't know who's going to be rotated, right? Even like you have Chilwell, like he's you didn't expect him to be benched, but he was benched. Yeah, so I stay away.
Poch appointed him as vice-captain and then bench him. It just doesn't make sense. And they tried to get rid of Conor Gallagher in the summer and he was the captain of the game. I don't know, man.
Chilwell owner, I mean, the statement that Poch made at the start, before the game started, about how he was looking to play in that system, right, with Mudrik over Chilwell, right? I think that was a bit scary, but I think after the results, looking at the results, and I think his comments after the game also, he said like maybe Mudrik is not ready yet lah. I think that's quite promising. So I think for now, right, I would still hold on to Chilwell if I have Chilwell. I wouldn't be selling Chilwell at the moment.
Okay, ABK, quick word on Sterling, the one you just bought for me, Toma.
Yeah, I'm not sure. As in, I mean, it's not good lah. I mean, but then I feel that I don't know. I mean, just wait and see lah. I mean, this is just based off his performance in Luton, and then I think after Luton, what was the game last week? I think his stats was also pretty good. So I think based on these two games, I brought him in. That was the reason why I got him in. But I mean, not looking.
He's an easier hold than Jackson.
I'm glad I bought Sterling and not Jackson lah. So I'll just give it like maybe two, three game weeks to see how he performs. Hi,
Daddy. Okay, so the next roast of the week is the team that's gonna double is Luton Town. So Anwar suggested to roast them. So Anwar, why don't you explain?
I mean, this week they actually had an opposition who they can actually get some points away. Like, I mean, even a draw would be good. But it's game week 5. They still 0. They had, I think, created only 2 chances. Or they had 2 shots on target the entire game. They weren't helping themselves there. And then the bottom of the table. What I was asking Lokman off air, right, was would this Luton team beat the Huddersfield team of 18-19 with 16 points? What, 16 or 18?
That's the lowest, not the B County.
Yeah, that's the lowest. It's lower than the Derby County, 16 points. I did some research, like, how bad could this Luton team be? And I think they didn't have much investment over the transfer window. And then, I know, like, the double game week looked tasty, lah. They have Everton and Burnley, like, both bottom.
Let's talk about that.
But right Let's now, Everton that. And Burnley are at least a point there, you know? So I don't know, man.
I tell you what happened with this Luton team. They will lose and maybe like get a bit of a draw here and there, right? But they'll end up winning Man City, bro. That's always the case. I do remember the season where Liverpool was almost invincible, and then they got beaten by Watford, who was in the last place. I think it was Ismaila Sarr had a masterclass. So I tell you what happened here. Like, they will lose to all the teams, and then somehow they will win Man City, bro.
that's the hope. That's the hope for us.
I have Kabore on the bench, but he's getting me like my 2 points. But yeah, other than that, Luton is just...
Okay, so ABK, when you heard about the double game week 7 news, what was your thoughts, initial thoughts?
Actually, to be honest, right, for this double game week, right, the full game was postponed even before the fixtures was announced. So actually, like when I was building my team, right, I was thinking, should I plan for this? Not like should I have like Kamore, Bell, or whoever like any Burnley or Luton assets la, in my team, like, especially in those like fodder kind of positions in my team la. But I think looking at how both the teams, Burnley and Luton, perform, right, I think it's okay not to have any la, I think I wouldn't put any like Luton and Burnley players just for the sake of it la. I mean, there's Morris. I think a lot of people are shouting Morris for this game week, and I'm not sure. Lyle Foster just got red-carded, right? And will he be suspended for the double game week?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Hey, no, he won. I think one game only.
It's only one game. Yeah.
I think it's a double yellow. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if there's anyone that I want to get in my team, I think Lyle Foster will probably be the man. I think Burnley really? Is a
Burnley Newcastle away. They playing.
Burnley is a better team, but I'm targeting. I mean, so I'm looking at the Newcastle game as a two-pointer, lah. Basically, two-pointer. Right, then I'm looking at the Luton game just for the 1 week pun. So I think for the double game, right, I would, as in of all the assets, I think Lyle Foster is the one that is the most appealing to me. Right, but I still wouldn't rush to get him in. I'll just see game week 7 whether there's a transfer I have spare to make the transfer. If not, then I won't rush to get any double game week players.
Okay, so honestly, when I heard the news, why don't you go first?
So initially I thought like, okay, I would only work the double game week if I could have someone from Luton or Burnley to work my bench. But then I already have Kabore, but Kabore is also not performing.
And then I think Kabore is Morris okay. I think you can play Kabore. I think he created 3 chances in the last game. I still think you can play him and hope for the best.
Yeah, and then he's going to let in 3 goals and cancel other chances that. Yeah, but then
Everton,
again,
Everton away.
Wait. Is so too much.
Yeah. Okay, so when I first heard the news, I tweeted, or rather, the verb doesn't exist anymore, right? So I X'd that I will buy Morris for Wissa, who I had in my team, and I have Bayer already, so I'll probably play him ahead of Estupinan, who has Aston Villa away. So I don't know whether I will do... I'll play Bayer, probably, but I don't know whether I'll still buy Morris. I think it's a wait and hold. I think Wissa, even though he's been blanking the last 3 games, his underlying is still decent-ish, so I don't know whether it's worth the free transfer. And Morris, the last game, he only had 1 shot, and he got subbed off early also in the 70th minute. So not looking good if you want to buy Morris, but I still think I just want to... get into it, buy the ticket to the double game. Yeah, I still think
one other thing to take note of is like if you bring all these players in, right, you have like you unless they are fodder positions, unless it's like your 4.0 positions, you have to think of a way to get them out eventually. Right. So one strategy you could do, especially if your team needs like a bit of like a change. Let's say I have like a issue with my team structure, I want to get Salah in, right? Maybe I can target the game week 8 as my wild card. So basically, you're kind of like free hitting the Burnley and Luton assets in game week 7, and then you get a game week 8 of reset and get rid of all this Burnley and Luton players.
Wild card in 8.
Yeah, I think that's a strategy that you could do to target this game week 7, but not specifically just to target the double game week, but also, fix your team in game week 8 if it's convenient.
Okay, Kopi takeaways. In this segment, we'll be tackling burning questions head on, discuss key assets to look out for, highlight trends and strategies for the upcoming game week, and answer the questions that you have shared with us on IG and Telegram. So let's start with the questions, okay? So there's a question from Kumzandinho. Must have a striker along Haaland. So who is the striker to buy? So let's say if you want to sell.
I know answer to this.
Oh! but honestly, in all honesty, when I was doing my transfer this week, one of the strategies that I was thinking was to have Haaland and Alvarez, right, and then Archer on the bench, because Archer is a cheap priced forward who can get subbed in and get some points in case any of Haaland or Alvarez misses a match due to the Champions League.
But why do you buy? So this was why something didn't buy Alvarez?
Yeah, so the thing is, I had Shaw and I had Wee Joe on my bench, so I needed 3 moves, and I don't think a -4 free hit is something that I wanted to do this week. And I wanted to test the waters with Awoni, so that's why I did these 2 transfers. I wasn't ready to commit to that with a free hit, so that's -4 points. But I mean, it could have worked out, because I think Alvarez and Haaland got in the points, but yeah. I took a bit of more conservative approach.
You're building your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, 5 points of the many.
But how do you like? He's facing Man City away next, so no idea. Okay, anyway, answer to the question. No, you ever answered? You ever answered the question, bro?
Yeah. So I said must have striker. Alvarez, and then but with an archer, Alvarez. Like it's a three striker combo ABK? Kind of answer.
Yeah, I think that's for me. There's no correct answer for this. I think you can go with anyone at the moment. I think there are plenty of forward options that you can work with. I think some weeks you won't get the points, and some weeks you do lah. For me, I think I'm just sticking to my own player that I had from the start of the season, Mr. Consistent, hardworking Watkins, getting me 5 points every week. I'm just sticking to him lah. I think it's fine whoever you go with lah.
Yeah, I mean, the question is must have, right? I don't think any of the answers is a must. So I think it's a bit of a throw-off question. But for me, if you were to choose one, I'll just go for Carlton Morris. So, because of the double. And okay, let's add one more question before I move on. Should we keep faith in Man United players? By Latif Abdul 91. Easy fixtures, but lousy form. So, what do you guys think? Okay, I'll just quickly say, Rashford was super unlucky in this game. They got owned by Brighton. But I think he was easily the best player on the pitch, and he should really have returned. That's my view on Rashford.
I disagree with you. I'm a Rashford owner, right? And then I think that the reason why it's so easy to defend against him is because for that game at least, right? The defenders know that he was going to take the shot, right? There were so many times.
Bro, he got nine shots, bro. He had nine shots.
Yeah, exactly. Because as a defender, I know that's what you're going to do. So I just cut off your shooting angles. That's all they did. So what he did was he could have. Bro, he could have passed it off so many times. You know the offside goal that Højlund had? That was, I think, one of the few times that Rashford actually passed it on to the overlapping.
I don't think you can shoot from there.
I mean, there were many options.
He's not talking about that one. He's not talking about the one that the ball went out, right?
Oh, you're not talking about that one.
The one that Højlund scored offside. And then it was offside, ruled for offside. Yeah, that was a cross from the left flank.
Which is a good thing because he scores. He does score. Look at the Arsenal game. If he wasn't greedy, he wouldn't have scored. So he should have taken shots because he has done it so many times before. So I don't think Brighton so-called defended him well. I think he let him. In fact, I felt the other way around. I think he let him too much space. To concede 9 shots against Rashford, that's definitely not ideal in the long run.
Okay, but that's that being said, I will still keep my Rashford. But if you have more than one United asset, I think. One is enough, lah. You don't have to put yourself into that kind of stress. I think
you have both, right?
Keegan asked from the Telegram, right? Mental health.
Right? Okay, let's talk about that.
So if you have two United, right? Imagine you have two United attacking asset, they both blank that big. I think you take a toll on your mental health. So I'll keep it. I just finish this. I'll keep Rashford because of the new tactical setup that I think Ten Hag changed. So I think he's put Rashford and Højlund a bit more centrally in a 4-1-2-1-2 diamond. So that's why also you see Rashford getting a lot more of the shots. So he operates better on the left side of the flank, on the left side of the field, that we all agree. But I think he's slightly a bit more central to the left, and that gives him a bit more space to take those chances. So as a non-United fan, I'm really hoping like he converts that one chance for my points.
If you watch this interview that Pep had Man U, right? I think it perfectly sums up what we are feeling at the moment. When he was asked Manchester United, then he chuckled and he laughed a bit, right? But then he mentioned after that Manchester United is Manchester United. They will come to form eventually. I think that's what's going to happen. So it's good to have just one. I wouldn't keep three, definitely not two. I wouldn't keep two, definitely not three assets. So I'll have one maybe Fernandes or Rashford or maybe even Højlund. I think Højlund is quite decent. I mean he's scored that offside goal, and he also scored that goal that the ball went off the line. So I think eventually the points will come in for Højlund. So I think Højlund is a decent play asset to have lah. So yeah, I would say just keep faith lah. At least one asset.
Okay, one. So for me, Rashford is a definite hole, And if you have Rashford and Bruno, right, or rather just Bruno alone, I still think it's a hook because of the fixture. So Burnley, Crystal Palace, Brentford, Sheffield, right? And also, in this game week, right, who are you going to sell Bruno for? I mean, Spurs have a tough fixture. Chelsea is Chelsea. I mean, you want to go for Foden. I think there's not enough assets. You can wait for DRB in 2 game weeks, maybe. But I think now, Burnley and Crystal Palace in the next 2, just hold and just... I don't know, man. Just hold up. Unless you got like in the same scenario, like two free transfers and you got nothing else to do, then maybe you can sell Bruno. But I still think it's fine. Against like he will do well against rubbish teams. Like against tough teams, he won't be. Okay, let's talk about Kenny's question. I want to ask ABK. So if you have a bad game week, right, how do you deal with a bad game week?
I wouldn't look at my FPL app. I think I would just close the app. I will open it when I have to make my transfers closer to the deadline.
Yeah, but what do you do now when you are podcasting? Yeah.
You
have to do your app, right?
Yeah, as in like when I'm podcasting, then I have to prepare for the pod. I will research and I'll do my research. But then if I had a bad game week, I mean, if I'm just a casual player, I'll just turn off, switch off, right? Don't look at your points. The red arrows will really demoralize you, right? Closer to the deadline, then after I'll open. But inversely, what Ange said with Tottenham, right? When there's the green arrows, bask in it, soak in the glory of it. So open your app every day, right? Give yourself like a hit of dopamine every day, So if you have a green arrow, go ahead, feel free to bask in the dopamine. But if you're a red arrow, just turn it off,
Anwar?
Yeah, bro. Every day, I think I log in 3 times to see if I'm like top 1K in Singapore. And I'm like, wow, bro, feels good, man. Feels good. Yeah, but about mental health, at the end of the day, right, this FPL, I think why it feels a bit consuming is because, honestly, there's nothing you get out of this except for banter, right? So like, a lot of times, like, we fall into that trap of banter. So that's why we feel like, we need to be better than our... Yeah.
I kind of told you right, before you want to join us, right? Like, be careful, but beware of the times when you have a bad game week, but you still need to come out and turn out on the podcast. I did warn you, right? What do you say?
Yeah. I said it's okay, there's no bad game weeks for me.
You just wait for a bit.
What do you say?
You just do it now. I think ABK is probably, but it's tough. But my advice for Kenny is, Just switch off, just turn off. Don't listen to podcasts. Don't listen to this podcast if you're like 8 million game week runner, like Kenny.
I think all other podcasts don't need to listen. Just listen to our podcast. we're here to console you. We're also in the same situation. So
yeah, but like Ken, just spend time with your boys. I know you have 2 boys, bro. I stalk you on Instagram and just switch off. Just switch off your mind from FPL, and then on Thursday or Friday, just turn on the app and start fresh. Don't make any hasty decisions. But I know Kenny, right? He's super active on FPL only. Shout out the Telegram group. But so I guess he'll probably good or bad game week. He's always very active. So I don't think this advice will work on him specifically. But yeah, let's move on. So let's talk about a question. So will City, Man City run away with the league? Has the dust settled on genuine title contenders? Anwar?
I guess it's City's title to lose. That's my stand.
Who's the closest? Closest?
I think we're back to City pool. I hate to admit it, guys, but at the start of the season, I was really pessimistic. I thought we were going to leak in the goals, but right now, we only 5 goals. That's surprising, man. And I think, and on top of that, we're giving the opposition like a challenge. We say, okay, we let 1 goal in first, maybe a red card or 2, and then we play the game, right? We just test ourselves. No. But that being said, I think, Brighton could be in the shout. Right, Brighton could be in the shout. City, Spurs could be in the shout as well.
Title.
Yeah. And the form that they're going, it's like I said, it's City's title to lose. They've strengthened tremendously this transfer window from a very strong squad already, and I think Pep is just insane. I don't know if you guys I'm just giving a shout out to Typho Football. If you go to YouTube, you watch a video, you see how Pep is transforming this City team. It's interesting because like he used to be like this possession football based kind of guy, right, passing the ball around and all that, but this video suggests otherwise, like saying that he's brought in players who can carry the ball to beat the counter presses, And I think it's been working. The thing that the players like Guardiola do well. But that being said, what would I do? Probably think about bringing in Salah lah, if you haven't.
Why you suddenly belong to Salah?
I don't know.
No, because he's like he's gonna be.
He just take every opportunity to select Salah.
Salah.
Okay, AVK, quick one.
Yeah, I think it's too early to tell. One counterpoint I have to say to Anwar is who has Liverpool faced that in this five
Pedro Neto
to
and
Chelsea.
Wait, yeah. You know Cunha? You see Cunha
Chelsea, Chelsea is nowhere near the what we're talking about. So one thing I want to say is that I think it's too early to tell because I think you at least have to, like, among the title contenders we have right now, right? I think they have to at least face each other once at least. Then we can at least tell. So if Liverpool played Arsenal, City, Spurs, or Brighton, then I don't know Brighton, but I mean, if they played, they've already played one of these teams, then maybe we can talk about the title contention. But I think at the moment, still too early.
Okay, yeah. One step for you guys. Haaland missed more big chances in a game in the Premier League since Opta started recording their stats. So he missed 5 big chances in a game. So is he turning into Darwin Nunes plus Jackson morph into one?
I think we can don't need to talk about Haaland now, bro. Haaland
he missed 5 big chances, bro.
Busted. Thank you. Good night. We should roast him next season.
Bro, wait, if you miss 5 big chances in a game, you should be roasted, right? Somewhat, no?
Missed 5 big chances. The amount of chances he get is more than other teams have, no? Entire game.
Yeah, but he still missed 5 big chances.
Entire season. bro, the okay, it wasn't like a Harvard's, like, you know, the sitter, but it's
nah, oh, 5 big chances is still 5 big chances.
But if you watch the game, he was unlucky.
I think there's no point talking about this. Nah. I mean, nobody's gonna transfer. Nobody's gonna transfer out Haaland. Nobody's not gonna captain Haaland. Nah, so
it's still a stat that is the most big chances, and also you can see Bernardo's goal. He could have tapped it in, man, but he not hungry.
Gentleman, bro. He said, I already got 58 goals. I don't need the 59.
not hungry enough. Gentleman, just go for a haircut, Kennedy. Let's move on. okay. Let's go on to the next topic. So, let's talk about Arsenal, your team, EBK. So, the rotations, let's shed some light on the rotations.
Yeah, I mean...
Arteta.
So, basically, Harvard's Vieira...
goalkeeper.
Harvard's Vieira, we don't talk about it, lah. Because it's both of them aren't really FPL assets, so you don't really have to talk about that. I think what I mainly want to focus on is the Raya and Ramsdale, lah. So how I see, it's interesting if you hear the interview that Arteta said that he actually mentions that in some games that one of the regrets he has is not doing a goalkeeper substitution in between the game, right? To kind of change the momentum of the game, lah. So it's a bit unorthodox. Right, he said that I think like he would have loved to do a goalkeeper transfer, a goalkeeper substitute to kind of change the momentum of the game. So I don't know how much a goalkeeper substitution can change the game, but I think that statement tells you a lot about what he feels like the goalkeeper situation in Arsenal right now. I think there are things that he likes from Ramsdale and things that he likes from Raya. And I think at the moment, I think he can't decide who he wants as his first team goalkeeper. Right. So the way it pans out, I think Raya, I would think he will get the Premier League games. And then Ramsdale, I think he will get the Champions League games and the League Cup games. Now, I think that's how I see
it. How much is he?
David Raya is 4.8 million at the moment. He's dropped 0.2 million in price. Lah. So
like one save, 2 bonus points. So that is why we're talking about Raya. It's
really okay, so
2 bonus points.
Yes. So it's not about the saves. I think with Raya, right, we see it last season with Brentford. Right? There's also, you see he's very comfortable in the ball. Like when I watch him, I'm very impressed by him. Although he didn't have much to do. Right, but he gives me this assurance when he passes the ball. His passing is crisp. Like you don't feel like your heart is gonna come out of your mouth when he do the passing. He knows, I feel like he's in control of the situation. He can pass the ball, and I think that's what contributes to his bonus points also, because there's a lot of passing that goes on between the defenders and him, right? Yeah, he's getting a lot of pass completed, and then even his long balls are always finding his teammates lah. So I think in that sense, Raya is very good lah. So yeah, so I kind of like Raya lah, actually. I'll see him getting time in the team lah. Yeah.
So a bit like Onana lah.
Yeah. Onana but better shot stopping, bro.
But I kinda agree with what ABK is saying. I think if you look at this Arsenal team, what they were lacking is Ramsdale did well. Like his shot, like his 1-on-1 shot stopping is good and all this. But I think if you look at Ramsdale, he's like Arteta wants to upgrade him lah to someone else. And I think what Raya brings is that I think in a lot of this modern football, what they want to do with trying to get numerical advantage is to bring the goalkeeper out and acting as the last defender. And I think Raya fits into the tactical setup more perfectly. I think the only reason why he hasn't started more games is because they concluded the deal quite late in the transfer window. So it's a bit awkward to let Ramsdale start one or two games and then suddenly drop him from Raya without him having made much of a mistake. So I think the international break gave Arteta the opportunity to reset. And like looking at the performance, I think Arteta suits this system. Sorry, not Arteta. I think Raya suits this system very well. And like what ABK said, he'll probably replace Ramsdale entirely for Premier League and maybe Champions League, and then the cup games will go to Ramsdale.
I think Champions League game, I think Ramsdale will still play. I got feeling.
Oh, so cup games versus Premier League games.
Cup games versus Premier League. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Tomorrow is our first Champions League game, so we'll see who is going
to
line.
Okay, guys, we are running quite late. Let's move on to off the menu, okay? A segment where we pick our differential less than 5% owned. So I'll go first. So my pick is, he's actually third highest scorer for forwards. It's Edson Edward. He's 5.6 million. He's 4.1% only. He actually got a price rise. So he's playing Fulham at home next. So 4 goals in the first 5 games. Yeah. So my pick is Edson Edward. ABK?
Yep. For me, it's a pick of the person that we just talked about. It's actually David Raya. So one of the things that Anwar keep mentioning, like we always saying our off-the-menu picks, but we are not getting them in our team. So just a spoiler alert, I am going to bring David Raya into my team. Yeah, so okay, the reason why is because he's 4.8 million. He's dropped in price from 5 million. And I think 4.8 million for maybe like a top 6 defender. I think Arsenal is second best in XGC considered. So I like Raya. I think if he plays, Arsenal keeps the clean sheet, I think he's in for bonus points. So I kind of like Raya.
Okay, for me, you guys just skip that I won this week's of the mini pick. So big owl with 5 points.
No more big owl for you already, bro.
No more big owl, but he's in my squad though. He's in my squad. I think he's like never mind. We just watch his videos. I think he has a lot to offer up front for Nottingham Forest. But this week my of the mini pick is Leon Bailey. Right, so he's 5.5 million. He's at 1.7% pick. I think this Aston Villa attacking trio, it's looking very interesting with Diaby, Bailey, and Watkins, right?
Yeah.
So I think like the last, like if you look, I mean, I wanted to do Diaby, but Diaby's now at 6.5%. And I think Leon Bailey has as much to offer as Diaby. So he actually, like if you watch the last game, I think both of them connected really well. And they're playing Chelsea next. So I think let's see how that goes. I mean, they don't concede that many, but I think this attack will leave them disjointed or disorientated, man.
Yeah, bro. Sorry for skipping the part that you won the OTM for last
game.
It's okay. Congrats. It's a lucky assist, lah. To be fair,
it was a nice control, though.
he was strong. He showed some physicality there. Shit, man.
Yeah. Bro, if you get assist for a nice control, then cannot lah, bro. Everyone is a professional footballer should have nice control lah. But anyway,
no, but if we don't,
let's go on.
Okay, true. I gotta agree. It's
okay. Yeah, but just kidding lah. It's a good take lah. But anyway, let's move on to team. So let's start with my team. So I wrote my transfer. I was tempted to do a lot of things like a wave of thoughts. The whole international break was so confusing. I wanted to get Spurs players. I wanted to sell Visa. I wanted to roll. I wanted to wildcard. I did a lot of stuff, but then I just rolled. So my game week, I had 38 points. So rate from 2.2 to 2.8. So my team is Turner, Chilwell, Estupiñán, sorry, Vardiol. So I benched Vardiol. I started Archer. So, but it didn't matter in the end. So Henry, Salah, Saka, Rashford, Foden, Archer, Captain Haaland, and Wissa. So 2.8 million, not a good start. And yeah, it's still early. So coming to this game week, right, I have to sell Rico Henry. So
might be out the whole season. Transfer, right?
I feel.
Might be
ACL,
out the whole
season.
Yeah.
Yeah. ACL confirmed. Yeah, I mean, it was a shame. Shame for him. Because he could have made the England Euros outside chance. Because there's no other left backs. But anyway, easy transfer him out for Botman. So yep. I'll wait for the Champions League after the Champions League. And I'm pretty sure he'll be near. I think Newcastle, right? I think they will rotate the forwards, I think, in the midfield. But I think the defense is pretty safe, especially the centre backs. Because they have no one, right? They have Jamal Lascelles only, who is not good at all. So Botman is an easy transfer. And my other free transfer, because I wrote, right? Could be anyone. I could sell Chilwell. I could sell Foden if he's not starting. Because one note, right? Man City is the early kickoff. So you probably get a leak. So yeah, that's one to take note. If I sell Foden, I'll probably buy Diaby because of Chelsea, Aston Villa's. I don't know. Catch up, if I know, I need to get his players. So yeah, so stop the bleeding. Yeah, what do you think?
I'm okay with the transfers, but I think to catch up Anwar, you cannot follow his moves, bro. I think if follow his moves, you'll always be behind
slowly.
Him. Right? So you gotta play it different from Anwar. Yeah, but I think I got no comments. I think with Botman is good. Maybe with the role transfer, maybe you can think about saving it Chilwell. For double game week 7.
I'm thinking of selling Chilwell also, but I want to buy Aston Villa defense. And Moreno was on the bench. I think he is the one to go because I think Cash, even though he was so good, right, he was so advanced in that game. Diego Colos is injured and Konsa did play right back before. So yeah, I'm still 50-50 on Cash. And also, Aston Villa's fixtures only turned good from game week 8. So I'm willing to wait on Chilwell. But I have a bad feeling on Chilwell. I'll see how. I might use both my transfers. But yeah, let's move on to ABK's team.
Yeah. So
how was your game week, bro?
Just 1 point less than you did. But I don't have Salah. So yes. Quite amazing that I only got 1 point less than you. Yeah, so 37 points. The way I set up. So I got, my transfer was to get Mitoma out for Sterling. I kind of looked at Sterling's underlying stats. I kind of like it. Chelsea's fixtures are pretty decent. That's why I brought Sterling in. Yeah, so my overall rank, I think, dropped by a bit. I think it was 3.3 million initially. Then now it's 4.1 million. So at the moment, how I'm set up, how I set up this game week was in a 3-5-2. Turner in goal, Chilwell, Gabriel, Vardiol is my defenders. Foden, Madison, Saka, Fernandez, Sterling in my midfield. Pretty poor. So I think only Saka returned. Up front, I got Watkins and Haaland as my captain. So I think pretty bad game week. So I think the way I'm set up, I think is the same this game week. I probably not change anything. Estupiñán, I think, goes in for Gabriel. As I mentioned just now, I'm actually looking to make a goalkeeper transfer. I think I'm done with Jordan Pickford. I'm looking at the Everton team. I don't think it's good at all. So I think I'm going to get Pickford out. And the person I'm getting in for Pickford is David Raya. The reason why I'm getting David Raya, despite the rotation risk, is that because I have a 4.0 playing keeper. Right? So that's why I am okay to bring in Raya despite the rotation risk. And as I mentioned again, XGC of Arsenal is pretty good. I like having Raya in my team.
Bro, wait. Yep. XGC aside, right? It's still small sample, but Arsenal plays Spurs and Man City in 2 in the next 3.
Yeah.
What's the point of bringing in Raya before your wildcard?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Because for me, right, Raya is a player that you can just play every week. Even against Man City or Spurs, right? I think they are harder teams, but yeah, they are teams that you can get save points.
That's where his Arsenal loyalist.
Wait. It's a 3 week pun, right? You did mention that you're gonna walk out in 9 most likely, right?
No. I'm not. I don't have any plans to do that. Yeah. For me, the reason why I want to get him early is because I want to catch the price rise. I want to get him when he's still at 4.8. I don't want to spend so much. Once he reached 5 million, I don't think he's worth it. I think it's more worth to go Sanchez instead. Yeah,
bro,
so there's a reason why.
By foddering him, bro.
Sanchez
by foddering
five,
him.
Sorry?
Sanchez is 5 now?
Sanchez is 4. Sanchez is 4.5. Yeah.
It became by foddering him, bro. Shock, man.
Wait, even Areola. If you were to do that, if I were to do a goalkeeper transfer, I would bring in Areola.
I would bring in Fodderingham for the double. he have Wolves at home in this game week, then the double, and then Spurs at not ideal. But the double, bro, you should just gamble the double. Why are you buying Raya? He's not going to keep any clean sheet.
Arsenal lawyers, bro. Let's move on.
Buy for Durham. Buy for Durham. Okay, never mind.
He got Turner, Ek, Arsenal, and Raya. I think he's more.
Turner might not be. Turner might not be nailed soon. So yeah, that's one thing to take note.
Why? Because his wife giving birth.
No. They bought the Benfica first choice. No, they bought the Benfica first choice goalkeeper. So eventually he will have to come in. So some Greek guy I can't pronounce, but he was in my UCL fantasy hero last season. And I don't know how Forest bought a first choice goalkeeper. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
I mean, they had Navas and the one night.
Yeah.
Okay. So my team. And,
how was your game week?
Okay. I did pretty decent. I think only 58 points this week. I had Turner in goal.
Wait, did you just say only?
I brought in Udogi for the injured Shaw. I think he got me 2 points there. Got lucky with Gusto, 6 points. I think I got to transfer him out soon. I've got to put him on the bench. So I need to think of another defender option. So let me just go through my defense. I've got Saliba, Gusto, Udogi, Estupinian, and Kabore. So I think it's pretty decent. I still got about 4 out of 5 playable players there. In midfield, I've got Saka, Mitoma, Rashford, Diaby, Salah. And in attack, I got Awoni, Holland, and on the bench, Wijo. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do this week. I might roll the transfer to the following week because I don't feel I have any immediate fights to fight. Alternatively, what I'm thinking also is if I should... because right now I have Holland and Awoni. Awoni, I mean, they're playing City next. So I feel one of the options is actually to upgrade my fodder attacker, like Wijo to Archer, Morris. Maybe. Archer, I think Morris is not for that 5.5 in my opinion. So Archer is at 4.5. I want to keep the points there and at least, like, you know, in case anything happens, I have an option to bring him in. Or if I play a 4-5-1 and then one of the defenders like Estupinian or Gusto don't play and then like Archer gets some point for me.
Your bench is Pickford, Estupinian, and Cabaret. Right? I'll play all three of them ahead of Turner, Saliba, and Udogi.
So that you can get more points than me next game week.
There's no way you're going to bench Estupinian, right? That's for sure.
Yeah. Correct. So what I'm saying is that now my striker, I have two strikers, right? Right. So I play 4-5-1. If I bench Awoni, or if I were to. What I'm saying is that if I were to play like any other options, I might want to have Archer coming on.
So Archer plays Newcastle this game week. Like, FYI.
No, just not for this game week, but just to upgrade my fodder position. But it's a waste of a transfer. So I probably roll it. I don't have much fights to fight now.
Okay, let's go on to the mini league ABK.
Mini league. So at number 3 for this week, we have our number 1 for the past few game weeks, Kinson Gunn with a team named Gun Him Down. Number 2, we have Alex Lau with a team name Are You Sure No Gabriel. And number 1 this week is a new entry. It's a new person on the podium, someone from Egypt. His name is Imad Nawar. So his name's almost similar to Anwar's name. His team name is Nawarations. So I think one thing I got to say to this guy is watch out for Anwar. He's coming for you.
He's
number 13
on the... First time I can see my name on the first page without scrolling down.
So okay, let me just run through his team really quickly. 3-5-2, he didn't make any transfers this week. He got 60 points. He has an overall rank of 660 now. He has Sanchez in goal. Defense, Saliba, Chilwell, Udogi. Midfield, Rashford, Salah, Eze, Sterling, Foden. Up front, he has the combination that... Anwar mentioned just now, Alvarez and Haaland. So I think a team that's looking pretty good for the next few game weeks. I think if nothing really much else to add on the team, I think just congratulations on the team.
My man, Captain Salah, man.
He Captain Salah over Haaland. Okay.
Should have done that.
He is Egyptian anyway. I think he probably perma-capped Salah.
Okay. Anyway, just as a reminder, we give out our Premier League jersey of choice to the season winner of our league. You may find a league code at the Telegram channel where we administer our league and interact with the community.
Yeah, don't forget to follow us on all our socials. We are on X, we are on IG, we're running a TikTok, and you can also find a copy of this podcast on YouTube. Links for all our socials are embedded in the description.
Yeah, so I was talking to my friend, right? He actually listens to the pod, but he's not on the Telegram. So if you guys are listening, right, and you happen not to be, if you're listening all the way to here, and you happen not to be in our Telegram chat, please join our Telegram chat. So yeah, we'll be podding next week. We'll be podding next week, Tuesday. So it's post game week 6. I think there's a Monday night game also. So see you guys soon. Thanks for the pod, brothers. All the best. We are FPL Kopi Talks signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.